Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, 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 what's up, world? It's Badass Thuggin' like I usually do. And you better turn it up, bust some speakers out, cause we off the motherfucking cuff. You dig how we do it? Dog Pound Gangsters 2000 and beyond. Yo, yo, check this out. This is your girl, Cola Volk, and I'm chilling with my boys right here on Off the Cuff Radio. We off the cuff right now. You dig?
Bet.
What's up? It's your boy Lil Yap from UNLV. Ragging up from the river. Cooling with my homies and my family at Off the Cuff Radio. Y'all be sure to tune in on Fridays and get the latest scoop and find out what's happening. You hear me?
Tiffany Levon.
And it's Queen Cleese, your girl's favorite bartender.
And we're from
Sex on the Rocks podcast.
All right, you're now tuning in to Off the Cuff Radio.
Yeah, because they keep representing that world hip hop. Well, much love.
All right. Y'all, this is Princess Daisy giving a shout out to King Eric and Off the Cuff Radio. Keep doing your thing, puppy.
Hey y'all, this is Stacia Lachey giving a shout out to King Eric and Off the Cuff Radio.
What's shaking, y'all? This is the Grand, one half of Lost Cause and one third of that Drive Time thing. Sending my love to the homies over at Off the Cuff Radio. Tune in every Friday night for some real deal hip hop conversation. These dudes are the connoisseurs of this thing. You already know what it is. BX Stand Up, Hud City, what's shaking? Peace.
Yo, this is Dope Fresh the Dime, and y'all tuned in to the most raw, uncut show on radio, the Guillotine Team, Off the Cuff, and yo, Eric Sandman, Off the Cuff Clown.
Yeah, it's your boy 4-5, Dog Pound Next Generation. Bang this shit.
West Coast Unity. Got the homie Havoc in the building. Anubis from Thug Style. All the way overseas. Global hustling right here, man. Let's go.
Chillin' in Hollywood, blowin' on the good. Got Havoc with us too, I wish y'all haters would. Try to step to this, we shinin' like we should. From the Bay to L.A., we do this all day. Grindin' like a motherfucker, we tryna get paid. Don't ask for nothing free, cause the words that I say cost no, man, I gotta get my cake. When we touch the mic, homie, and the classics we make. D.H.D. with the S.C.C. Dog Havoc Records, the cartel O.G. Got a new bitch in the building from overseas. Selling this motherfucker, bitches going wild. Twerking, shaking, yeah, see them smile. They going down low, they making it clap. Yeah, going up and up across the whole damn map. It's West Coast Unity, best believe that. West Coast Unity, West Coast Unity. From the Bay to L.A., we bout that unity. No matter what color you bang, turf you claim. We bout respect, fuck the fame.
Frames, dip blocks, banging homes, mad ass cartel, G-A-N-G, Big Havoc, West Side Heat, never empty, they like, ooh, slip hand, blow cushy, ride a day, homie, I'ma bang like Bush, hit the block, me and G on them, me and Prize, y'all know we sick on them, 45 kick on them, it's an SD thing, Bay game, nigga to the SD, nigga make it rain. Y'all niggas been drinking too much. Boots Leroy niggas, y'all drinking too much. And your hood game pussy, eye game sissy. Niggas don't try me, might be risky. Ah, I can make it sizzle, bang up.
What?
LA nigga till I die, bang up.
West Coast Unity, West Coast Unity. From the Bay to LA, we bout that unity. No matter what color you bang, turf you claim. We bout respect, fuck the fame. West Coast Unity, West Coast Unity.
Lay, put it down, thug style, Havoc, local and the new biz. Get ready, said, let's do this. We bring you the connection from Sweden to the Bay to LA. South Central Cartel, y'all all night, man. Get it up, studios, LA, get with it, man.
West Coast unity, from the Bay to LA, we bout that unity. No matter what color you bang, turf you claim, we bout respect, fuck the fame. West Coast unity, from the Bay to LA, we bout that unity. No matter what color you bang, turf you claim, we bout respect, fuck the fame.
Yeah, the streets gonna love this one, man. They gonna be playing this all in the low rise.
You think you got you cause you kinda click. You think you got you cause you get chips. You ain't on that dog habit shit. Nigga, that DHD shit. You think you got you cause you kinda click. You think you got you cause you get chips. You ain't on that dog habit shit.
It's another sunny day in Cali. From the dirty bottom of the bay to the valley, I be going sideways in the Mally. Ski skirting like I'm trying to win a rally. I be going posted on the block, bombing through the traffic. It's fuck your feelings, 7th grade classic, back at it. About to show you what it do. Small fine pine, make a spectacle, watch your crew. I thought you knew. Your fingers can't pay me, I be the boss. The gorilla, my general, so please go ahead, get lost. I'm trying to get soft, super lost, high as a kite. Set my bundle in the bushes, party all damn night. Only smoke top flight, no Bobby Boucher. You say you got dope, but it look like, hey, get out my way. I'm from the Bay, 707, if you may. You can even say it backwards, it come out the same way.
Cali, from the dirty bottom of the bay to the valley.
And we blazing great 7 to 7s, man. The flats, the lower bottoms to the bay. Fairfield, California, streets smell like marijuana. Bitches looking fine, they always wanna get down with a play and go get on ya. We got them palm trees and a bomb weed, and it's all medical prop 215. Texas rolling down Texas and Tampa, riding with my sons of 7s players. You cross up, you put your life in danger. But I ain't trying to trip, no, not at all. We trying to have a good time, have a ball. Ain't trying to catch a case or running with the law. Hell no, he's back with a dub sack. Place one in Cali days, how you love that?
It's the sun, never sunny day in Cali. From the dirty bottom of the bay to the valley.
Mobbing through Cali in a Mally on rally, tearing up the valley, set it up. Go ahead, compress your luck. 50 tuck, trees have you stuck. You gotta buy dope from us. All gates on breaks when I skate. But the police let them hate. Watch out for snakes in the face. If they won't beef, I do stay. I'm always ripping my hood and my state. Big life is great. California living, me my sons is winning, and this is just beginning. On 87, enjoying Cali sunrise, water fight, ladies in skip phase. On the block, making money, drinking great, funny, a big factor, everybody love me. California love, with a homie, I'm feeling like Pretty Tony. Just another sunny day in Cali.
It's another sunny day in Cali, from the dirty bottom of the bay to the valley. Dirty bottom of the bay to the valley. I be going sideways in the valley. She's turning like I'm trying to win a rally. I be gone.
You think you got you cause you got the click. You think you got you cause you get chips. You ain't on that dog habit shit. Nigga, that DHD shit. You think you got you cause you from the click. You think you got you cause you get chips. You ain't on that dog habit shit. Nigga, that DHD shit.
You know, yeah. Fuck the haters, your boy Fo Steady, West Coast, Dog Pound Next Generation, Dog Habit, North.
Yo, 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 what it do, y'all? We at episode 252, and you are now tuned in at the livest hip-hop show usually on Friday nights, but we're doing a special Thursday night, Off the Cuff Radio. I am your host, King Eric the Great, riding on the solo tip for this evening due to the fact that my co-hosts are busy, occupied with other things. So we look out for them tomorrow night. And the reason why I chose to do this show here is because this guy right here is possibly one of the hardest working artists I've ever met. This guy here, between running a label, being an artist himself, his network game is so impeccable that it even inspired me. So without further ado, we had the Wise Guys Takeover show last year. This year, he's coming in to talk about what he got in store for 2019. Let's all welcome my man, Lope the Smoke, in the building.
Hey, what's up, Eric the Great? What's happening? Shout out to Off the Cuff Radio.
Already know, I had to do it like that.
Hey, that's what's up, man. Hey, and thank you for the kind words as well, man. I'm glad I've been an inspiration, man. I appreciate that, man. I try, man. I always say, man, I'm just me, man. I just keep doing what I got to do, man. Just pushing the line, you feel me? So I appreciate that, man. It's much appreciated, man, what you said. For real, for real. Salute.
No doubt. Oh, yeah, no doubt, man. I mean, it took a long time for us to get this thing going on because, you know, with you doing what you do and with I'm doing what I'm doing, everyone got to make time right. So now we finally got it together, and let's let the people know what you've been up to with you these days, man. What's been going on with you?
Man, grinding like a motherfucker, man. Like, last summer, we put out, me and Erd 7 out of Compton put out the Beta Compton album, and that shit up at 40,000 streams right now. We was actually working on the Wise Guy Global compilation at the time that we just, me and Erd 7 just all of a sudden, hey, let's make an album, man. And we made it, like our parts was done in about 2 weeks. And then the rest of the features and shit on there came on, and the whole album was done in a month. But if you listen to that album, like, it don't sound rough. You feel me? So, yeah, so we did that. We put that shit out. Then we just dropped the Wise Guys Global Rhyme Family compilation in March. And then I just dropped my Past and Present Volume 2 solo record, which contains a bunch of, like, tracks from my mixtape days that are on new beats, freshly remastered and everything, hits that didn't have a chance to come out, you know, into the retail market. And then it also contains songs that been, you know, out retail wise. It's a little mixed bag of stuff. And that shit's been going really well, man. Like, that shit's already up at, what the fuck was it, like 18,000 streams or some shit.
Up.
And that just came in. Yeah. So, man, you know, just grinding, man. And then we pushing the label, we pushing all the artists as well. We got a whole bunch of artists, as you've seen.
Yeah, I want to talk about the Wise Guys Entertainment enterprise that you got going on, man. Like, tell us who's on that roster.
Okay, yeah, we got Nephew Michael out of Linwood. We got Rockbox. That's my business partner also. He is the CEO of Rhyme Rocket Entertainment, and him and me joined forces. So that's my business partner. We got Erd 7 out of Compton, Little Ratchet out of Inglewood. We got my homie Penn State up here out the Bay Area, but he's locked down right now doing 9.5. So free the homie Penn State. We got Travis Bryant out of Canada, the Hungry Bastard. We put out records for another dude out of Canada named Hood. Doe Fresh Don and his Black Law Rebel Music family, part of the Wise Guys Global family. We got Rapology out of Australia. We got Split Personality out of Sweden. Ron, the co-founder out of Sweden. The homie Big Script out of Colorado. Man, am I missing anybody? Dallas now, what out of LA? Let me see. Boss Hizzle out of LA also. Yeah, man, and Lady T out of L.A. So we got quite a few cats down in L.A. and shit, and the list goes on. Trying to think, did I miss anybody? Oh, Damo out of Sacramento, he bringing that R&B shit back. You know what I'm saying? No auto tune, just R&B soul Jodeci type of shit. You feel me? So yeah, we got him as well. And the family just keeps on expanding, and we have a lot of people in this network. Some people that are part of the label side, but then also people that are part of the movement side. You know what I mean? So it's right. it's just expanding all the time.
Now, when you're scouting for talent, what do you look for in your artists to bring to the table?
It's got to be authenticity. It's got to be that people are level-headed, that they don't get the egos all up. So, you know, because egos can destroy shit, man. Like, you can have great talent, but it can all be brought down if they got a terrible ego. You know what I'm saying? And in this game, we deal with a lot of egos. So, like, I feel person out and all that shit if I bring him into the movement. Now, on the label side, like, because, you know, I also sell distribution packages. So if somebody has good music and they just want the distribution side and all that shit, I'll hook them up as long as the bread right. So and they got some talent and quality music, but for the movement side and who I bring into the actual family side, yeah, I got to know them for a while, chop it up with them, and then each chapter has their own little boss also. So like Travis Bryant, he runs the Canada side, right? So he'll bring somebody to the table like he just did with the Hungry Bastards. Now I ain't talked a lot to the Hungry Bastards. I'm getting to know the dude right now. But he's got a lot of talent, and Travis Bryant is the captain over there. So, you know, he's under him. You know what I'm saying? So we kind of running like a mob at the same time. You know what I'm saying? Like, we have different chapter captains and all that shit.
Yeah, I don't think people understand the challenges of maintaining a label or a management enterprise, because you got to be like these dudes' father figure. You got to be these dudes' manager. You got to be these dudes' brother.
Exactly.
It goes beyond music.
It does. It does. And it's a nonstop hustle, like, or nonstop job. You know what I'm saying? But I think we've been doing pretty well. And there's been times when I ain't been able to manage it. The homie Rockbox takes over, and then Urge 7 is also partnered with me. So he watches over the stuff, like in the chats and stuff, you know, the network chat that we got and all that. So if I got to take a few days off or a week off or something like that, they the ones managing that shit. And you probably noticed, man, Wise Guys Global been pretty much like the engine that runs itself right now. Like, you see in that chat all the time, because you win the chat. So I know you see what's going on. You see motherfuckers always networking. So, yeah. Yeah, we got to a point right now where it's pretty much maintaining itself. You know what I mean? It's pretty good.
Most definitely. And I want to take my listeners on to a journey, like getting started, like the beginning stages of Vote to Smoke. Like, first of all, tell us how you got the name, and tell us about your background and what brought you into hip-hop.
Okay, so let me start from the back, from the beginning. What brought me into hip-hop? I was a little five-year-old kid. My stepbrother had the Beastie Boys License to Ill tape. And I heard that, and I fell in love with hip hop. Fast forward a few more years later, my mom came home with Ice-T's Power album on cassette tape, and she told me to listen to the song High Rollers, because that's what she was, and God rest her soul, that's what she was. And I could recognize what Ice-T was talking about in the lyrics, because that was the same type of lifestyle I had been brought up around. That right there, I knew right away when I heard that was the music genre I wanted to continue to listen to and to start creating from. And when I became a teenager and I was wilding out myself a little bit doing stupid shit, you know, writing lyrics became a way for me to deal with my own demons that was fucking my head up. And that's what got me into it. That's how I started. Then fast forward a few more years later, you know, I've been recording some demos, whoop de whoop, In 2004, I hit up Mob Life Records in New Jersey. They're not even around anymore, but it was a label that was around in New Jersey back in 2004, and they had just signed Moprim Shakur, Tupac's brother, to the label. I sent my demo over to them, and they hit me back and said they liked it. They was wondering if I wanted to do a song with Moprim. It was going to cost a stack at the time, and at that time I didn't have that. But I was like, wow, you know, they reached back to me. They liked my music, so that showed me hope. And I just continued grinding, and then all of a sudden I saw Mike Mosley was looking for talent for his compilation, and I sent my demo over there. And like within a half an hour, Mike Mosley's manager, DJ Pimp, he hit me back. He said he loved my records, and he introduced me to DJ King Assassin, brought me on board. I was repping for Steady Mobbin. I didn't put out no albums with Steady Mobbin, didn't sign no paperwork, but I was officially on Steady Mobbin. Like DJ Pimp, he wrote it on public, put my name out there and everything, and he got me doing shows in Germany and in other countries in Europe and shit. I met Gonzo over there, man. It was a blast. I had a blast. And then in 2010, I finally got my first distribution deal, and you know, did some shit there, and then signed with Dog Habit a few years later, then One Hood Entertainment. Now Wise Guys Global, my own shit, done with being on labels. You know what I'm saying? So that's like a short rundown. There's a lot that happened in between, but you know, it's gonna take forever if I'm gonna say it all. So yeah.
And you know, in hip hop, it's a lot of obstacles that you gotta cross just because you're different. Like we've seen.
Yeah.
Certain artists, they got to come through. They go through extra challenges because they're different. Now, with you being a white cat and everything, did you suffer from the same thing?
Yeah, and you know what? Like I'm Chicano from my mom's side, and I'm Scandinavian from my dad's side. So I'm mixed. So, like I heard it all the time. Like even when I was a kid, before I started rapping, man, like there was. Kids in the neighborhood who wouldn't, their parents wouldn't let me play with them because either I was Mexican or I was too white, whatever. So I was always stuck in them about, you know, I learned already as a youngster, man, fuck all that racism bullshit. And I just kept pushing forward no matter what. People told me shit like, you know, like you said, being a white rapper and shit like that, man, ain't always easy. But I just don't give a fuck, man, and I keep on going regardless. And if anybody has something to say, they can suck my dick. That's how I look at it. You know what I'm saying? So that's just how I kept on going.
Right.
Yeah,
man. Because we also gotta blame Winkle for starting the white rapper wave on the wrong foot, because he kind of messed things up for a lot of nice white rappers coming in before Eminem. He kind of, like, when he came into the game, he kind of brought a different flavor to the table, and it brought a little more acceptance, but it's still not quite there.
Yeah. And, you know, like Eminem, that's the artist right there. Like, I got a lot of respect for the dude, you know what I'm saying? I think he's very talented, but his style is not my style. Like, I don't go put on an Eminem record and bump that shit. Like, you know what I'm saying? I don't go buy an Eminem record. Like, I did. I bought the Slim Shady LP, and I bought, I think, the Eminem Show back in the day. And I thought those were dope records. But all in all, like, it's the gimmick part that I don't like. Now, he's very talented, so don't take it like I'm hating or nothing on the dude, because dude is a fucking monster on the mic. But it's just not for me.
Yeah,
so I give
content.
Props to dude. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
content-wise, I want some substance, man. Yeah, like for example, I was watching the movie Get Rich or Die Trying the other day, you know, 50s movie and shit. And that movie, like 50s background, I could relate to a lot more, even though like I'm a Chicano white dude, right? But because of the situation I see him grow up in, that talks to me more than Eminem's music. Like, I see him growing up with his mom in the dope game, his mom dies because of the dope game, same shit happened to me. And then I see him grow up the way he did, you know what I'm saying? So I can relate a lot more to that than I can to Eminem talking about being trailer trash and shit. You know what I'm saying?
Not to mention, when you're looking at the movies, you're looking at the crews, like who 50 had with Get Rich or Die Trying, and you see who Eminem had at 8 Mile. The dude Eminem had at 8 Mile like a bunch of cornballs. Whereas, you know, with 50, he had some solid dudes around him. Cheddar Bob shot himself.
Yep. Exactly. And I didn't see that. Like, my mom, she was in the dope game deep, man. Like, and that's the shit I saw when I was a kid. That's why when you listen to my lyrics, this shit, you know, is a lot of gangster shit. It's gangster shit in pastime, but that's what it is. You know what I'm saying? It's not trailer trash or dudes accidentally shooting themselves, you know, doing all this stuff, you know. And hey, no disrespect to him, though, man. I feel like I'm getting disrespectful to dude, but I got much love for him. But, yeah, just that's, yeah, you feel what I'm saying, though, I think, right?
Yeah. You know how sometimes the music come through as that school shooter-type music. Like, man, you know, we can't really buy to that. You can't really play that on a cookout.
Nope.
You can't really put that on a whip when you ride it to the beach with your lady. You know what I'm saying? You got to – his music to me is for certain – for certain vibes and for certain times. Like, he has some good songs out there that's good for the moment. But
yeah,
you can't really put out there
like
a full blast. Like, you ain't gonna hear none of that in the club or whatever.
Exactly. You know what, Eminem, like, I was talking to a friend of mine earlier today, because I was bumping a song with Eminem. I was bumping Who Run It, and it's him, 50, and Cassius. Now that type of shit, when he's with other artists, that's when I like him, because then he's on some other different vibe. He's still him spitting his bars, but he's got a different vibe to it, and that's the shit I like when it comes to his shit.
I think with him and compared to his now to how he was, he just needs the right jurisdiction. Like, he needs Dre to get back in his circle and tell him, look, this stuff you putting out ain't hitting, man. You need to go back to the drawing board and put out some of that stuff that made you powerful in the first place. Cause a lot of people ain't trying to listen to a lot of stuff you're putting out, but they respect you being a spitter.
Exactly. Yep, exactly. That's facts, man. His last Kamikaze album, though, I got to give it to him, because in a world right now where mumble rap is dominating, he came with it and brought some good shit back. But like I said, I bumped that album maybe once or twice, and that was it. I don't bump a lot of Eminem music. But, you know, for the age, at least he bringing substance. You know what I mean? At least he got some bars and shit. Man, I still got to check out that new Nas record, though. That shit I'm excited about, and I ain't checked it out yet.
Dope album, man. I'm just letting people know right now, because even when I was on the interview with Doe Fresh, I was on a big shout out to that network. I let it be known, like, look, man, Nas is my top five. I ain't gonna tolerate no more Nas disrespect, damn it. that's not gonna fly anymore.
Man.
I
love Nas, man, Jay-Z is quit.
Like, y'all Jigga fans need to stop it. Ether was 20 years ago. Let it go.
Yeah. And you know what? Ether was Jay-Z's nail in the coffin. Not really. I mean, he got up from it, but yeah. I mean, he fucking Nas fucking murked Jay-Z on that record. I mean, yeah. Give me Nas any day over Jay-Z, man. No, and no disrespect to Jay-Z either. It's just, man, like, I think he's overrated. I think he's hella overrated. I saw your post on Facebook today talking about
right
that.
Here.
Too,
it's not, cause he, it's not really him being overrated per se, because I got a lot of his albums. I mean, Jagger, I like his music. But what I don't like is his stand. His stands are the worst next to M's. I mean, they'll bring up, oh, he got billions of dollars, or he has Beyonce. I'm like, what that got to do with the man's music?
Yeah, exactly. He has some real dope joints back in the 90s, though. Like, when did that Wish on a Star come out? That was one of my favorite joints Jay did.
Man, he got his stuff. Streets of Watching is one of some of my favorites. And the album that a lot of people don't like in my lifetime. He has some of the coldest songs I ever heard up there.
Yeah.
Nobody liked that in my lifetime. I'm probably the only person in the world that liked that album. Even Jay don't even like that album.
Man.
Jay got that on the bottom of the list. He don't even like that album.
Man.
But going back to the music and everything now.
Yeah.
What were some of your all time favorite albums that make you want to be like, yo, I'm gonna study the game. I'm gonna study how these guys put it down, and I want to do this.
Like some of the most important albums I could say that I listened to would be, huh, or what?
Yeah. Go right ahead.
Okay, so the ones that I would say, Power, IC Power, N.W.A. Straight Outta Compton, Dr. Dre The Chronic, Snoop's Doggy Style, Tupac, Me Against the World, and Nas, It Was Written. And I love Illmatic, but It Was Written is my shit. I think...
You know what's crazy?
Yeah.
Is Illmatic is Cypress more Hill, like critically acclaimed. Yeah, Illmatic is more like critically acclaimed. Illmatic is more like critically acclaimed, but I would pick It Was Written because he was showing more case of storytelling up there. And the album, to me, is more seasonal.
That's
Illmatic.
And then I got
Illmatic is more so.
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead. I didn't mean to cut you off. Go ahead.
Okay, I was going to say, yeah, one more album that I got to put into the mix, too, would be Cypress Hill, Temples of Boom. That was one album that also helped shape me as, coming up and inspired me and stuff. I'm a big Cypress Hill fan also. And me and B-Real, B-Real mix too, so. He mixed Mexican White as well.
I'm glad it's crazy how you bring up Cypress Hill, man. Cypress Hill is very underrated. They deserve their props heavily.
Hell yeah, man. How I Could Just Kill a Man. I mean, their four first records are fucking classics. All of them, in my opinion. Those first four records they dropped, I love every fucking record on that shit.
Temples of Boom.
Yeah. Boom Bitty Five.
Crazy.
Man.
And it kind of went, when they started going mixing in with that rock music, they kind of lost me a little bit, but I understood that's where the money was.
Yeah, that was Skull and Bones. I remember that. I like the rap CD on that one, but I've never been a big fan of the rock version. It just wasn't for me. But B-Real, that dude's a dope spitter, though. And I mean, you know what? How many people can go up against somebody like Ice Cube and still have a fucking career today?
And hold their own.
You know, they went
up. Brazil actually held their own up there.
They did, man. Like during that whole time. And I gotta say, Cube, Lethal Injection is another album I put into that whole study part. But anyway, back to this part, man. They like that whole time when they was dissing each other. I mean, they both dropped hard disses on each other, but they both stayed. And Cube, who I, as much as I love Cypress Hill, I mean, Cube is Cube, man. That's an undefeatable. That's like Mike Tyson. So they took their shots at each other and fucking Cypress Hill still stood up. So salute to them for that.
Most definitely. And you mentioned Tupac being the influence and Me Against the World being your favorite album. Now, out of all those albums he did, including the ones he did in Cuba, we don't think he's dead. We do even think he did those in Cuba. And why'd you pick Me Against the World?
Just how solid it is from top to bottom. That album, when I went through my darkest times in my life, I was hustling, fucking just living a fucked up life, man, and on the edge of feeling like I didn't give a fuck if I lived or died. That album brought me back. Every time I bump it, if I was going through some shit, I put on Fuck the World. I put on Lord Knows. You know, I smoke this blunt to take my pain out. If I wasn't high, I'd probably try to blow my brains out. You know what I'm saying? Like, I hella felt that shit, man. I hella felt that shit. So, and then the Dear Mama song, you know, my mom had passed. So my mom has always been like a very touchy subject for me. And when I hear that, you know, I relate to the love and passion he had for his, he has, you know, for his mom and everything. And, yeah, it's just, I just love that whole album, man. It's crazy later that I actually, that my mentor in the game be a dude that was heavily involved behind the scenes with that album, or two dudes, Mike Mosley and DJ King Assassin. I had no clue when I heard that album that day was going to happen. But, yeah, man, yeah, Me Against the World is just one of those, it's my favorite of all time, man, all Pac records. And I love all Pac records, but that album right there just stands out.
Plus, you had one of my favorite songs from him was Death Around the Corner.
Yeah, I love that
joint. The better gems on that album too.
Yeah. You just sit there by that fucking window with that fucking AK all day. You know,
yeah.
You know, fuck, you know, goddamn thing.
Oh, hey, that was a crazy opener.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right, man. Man, that's a classic record right there.
So, and connecting with Tupac's music, how did that link to the Shakur family stuff happening? Because that's tough, and, you know, especially in this game, like, the Shakur family is very secretive, exclusive on who they really rock with. Because Pac was a solid dude.
Yeah.
They don't let any buster in the circle. So how did you end up getting through that door?
DJ King Assassin right there, Mike Mosley, and DJ Temp. But a lot was because of DJ King Assassin. Then I linked up with Sadar Khan, also known as Candyman 187. That is, he's like Gaddafi's mom's adopted son. So he calls himself the little brother of Pac, but they not blood related or nothing. But he grew up, he was a youngster. He grew up around Pac and Gaddafi. They had a plan on making a group called the Have-Nots, which was going to come after the Outlaws, which was going to have Gaddafi, Pac, and Candyman. And that, you know, because it was right at the end. It never happened. And Candyman 187 back in the early 2000s, around the time when I had linked up with Assassin, he was going to reboot the Have-Nots. And me and Candyman got really close with each other. And he brought me into that whole Have-Nots family. Then, and then after that, a few years later, I started talking to Young Noble from the Outlaws. Then I had that song with Mo Preem. So around that time, we just linked, and it's been a real solid, you know, a lot of good solid people around there in that family, and some people that got their differences, but all in all, man, I got love for everybody there, man, and it's an honor to even fuck with that family. You know what I'm saying? Rest in peace, Afeni. Also, rest in peace, Big Psych, who passed away a few years back. I got to chop it up with him once and do a little remix that he put his blessing on as well.
Man, you know what was crazy was before Psych passed, we was on the verge of getting him on the show too. We was trying to get that to happen, and the tragedy happened. So it's just one of them situations where you got to give these legends, let them smell the roses before they pass. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah, facts, man. And I think that I feel that Big Psych is really underrated, and like I think there should be, like, somebody should put out, like, I was trying to do it earlier this year. I was trying to get people involved at New Big Psych to put together, like, you know how we did that 20 Years Gone mixtape for Pac, do a tribute for Big Psych. and I was trying to get people together to send me some verses and have a I had a DJ involved that could mix them and everything, and we could you know, do a little something for free. I don't want to eat off a dead man or nothing like that. So we was gonna just put it out there on that piff for the world, you know what I'm saying? And unfortunately, it just didn't happen.
Now tell us about that 20 years mixtape, because I know that's like a challenge, because there's like, ever since Pac died, there's been millions of mixtapes from him. That's hence my theory of him being in Cuba and sending us verses that we never heard.
Yeah, there was some verses on that mixtape that I hadn't heard before too, man. I was like, wow, that one that they remixed that joint that me and Trey Styles and Travis Bryant originally did with Havoc, Real Motherfuckers, they put on War Games, the Pac verse. And I know it had come out like a year prior, but I hadn't heard it. I never heard that verse before, and then there was some other shit I never heard either.
And that mixtape, it flows so fluid, man, because every week there's a new Tupac mixtape. You have a struggle DJ coming out with a Tupac blend tape, or you had, I know everybody that's a Tupac fan remember this, the Machiavelli bootleg series that was all over every swap.
Machiavelli 2 was my favorite.
I would have to say 2 or 3 because you could tell they were flowing in a way where he would want them to put out. The rest of them songs just seemed like stuff just from other periods.
Yep. That's how I felt. That's exactly how I felt. Yeah, 2 and 3. Then after that, then the sound quality on some of the songs got worse and some of the shit didn't sound right. Then I heard one song or one of those Machiavelli bootlegs, and there was a song called West Coast, and it was by a dude, but it wasn't Pac. It sounded like Pac, but it wasn't Pac, and it wasn't the realest either. I don't know who that song was.
I think it was the guy named Black Hayes. I think that's his name.
It could have been. That makes sense, because Black Hayes does come on Pac too. Yeah.
Well, Pac has so many sounds
out there. Yeah. Yeah.
Made that tape dope, man. Huh? What made that tape dope, man, is that you brought your part to the table. Travis brought his part to the table. The Outlaws brought their part to the table, and you had DJ King Assassin, who was the orchestrator and the producer, basically the creator, the movie creator, and it just flowed like an album.
Yeah. I thought it was a real solid double album, like personally. Assassin was the one who presented it, but I was the one who oversaw the whole project from top to bottom. I was the one who got the song, and then Assassin, you know, I sent it to Assassin, and everything, you know, put his stamp on everything. And when it was ready, but I put the track listing together, got to, you know, and I did a lot of the work on that shit. I just got a lot of love for Pac, man, and I didn't do that out of clout chasing. I didn't do that out of trying to big myself up to be part of a Pac project or nothing like that. I did that just because I got that much love for Pac. You know what I'm saying? And before I even I came up with the idea, because nobody at that time was working. You know, it was 20 years after his death. There wasn't a Pac album coming out. You know, nothing was really coming out, and I hit up Assassin one day. I said, "Hey man, we should do a 20 years gone mixtape." He gave me the go ahead. I looked up the DJ Little Prophet, got a whole bunch of stuff. Assassin donated a few songs to it too, and then I had a couple other DJs that sent me some stuff. Then I just went through, like, I think I had originally 50 tracks for that shit, and I just went through and picked out the top, like, for top them out for a double project.
Yeah, that thing came out flowing real solid, bro.
Thanks, man. Yeah, I wanted it to sound like something that Pac would have put out. I didn't want, you know, like, you got some mixes out there, and they totally don't sound like nothing Pac would do. Kind of like, you know, the Loyal to the Game now. Like, that album right there, that's an official fucking album, but that don't sound like nothing Pac would have done. You know what I'm saying?
So when I went in, I wanted something that would feel like this was something that he would have done for me. I hear you listening to Queen right there.
Definitely, man. And you know one thing about Tupac fans, he has the most craziest fan base next to Jigga and M in the Beehive.
Yep.
Those motherfuckers is crazy, man. They don't fight any biters. A lot of them still mad at Puffy.
Hey,
they still hate Puffy good.
I'm one of them that'll kill some fuck bad place, staff, regulation, manager, motherfucking crew. And I said that live on the air, but it's all good. Bad boy got a problem with it. I'm out here in Cali, man. Yeah, you know, E-40 ran up on them over here when they was out here one time and they was talking shit.
Yeah, it ain't gonna be no Ciroc being sent to us tonight.
Huh?
Nah, they ain't gonna be sending none of that tonight. We ain't gonna be able to get that endorsement for that.
Yeah. Man, but but it's real, yeah. No, we gotta move on. It's 2019, and I'm a Pac fan. It's all good. At least I got the stamp from the family.
Definitely, man.
Yeah. But nah, for real, man. Pac fans out there, like some hardcore ones, they'll punch somebody in the mouth if they say that they don't like Pac. Like, you know what I'm saying, man? It's gonna
especially
try to
with
downplay Pac. Man.
Especially with a lot of the people that be coming out of the woodwork now. Now, I want to ask you this here. Like, what is your thoughts on the Glasses Malone track that just came out about Tupac? What are your thoughts about that?
Man, the title? I do not like that title at all. I think that...
Mm-hmm.
Nah. The hip-hop one. Let me take away my Tupac bias side and my, you know, and just look at it as an artist.
I think his execution of and the creativity was very well done. He did a real good job on that song. It's very authentic, and it's not a shot at Pac. And he did like I saw a video of him talking about it, and he said no, the reason why he named it that was because he wanted people to get that, feel that anger and that passion of being angry, you know. That's why he named it the way he did. And so I still wouldn't have named it that. I think that name right there sounds like, I mean, imagine if somebody did a song called Nip Must Die or Biggie Must Die or somebody else, Pretty Black Must Die or somebody, you know what I'm saying? Like, that shit ain't cool, man. That shit right there is not cool at all. But the way the concept of the song, I don't have a problem with the song the way it is. It's just a title I got an issue with, and I tweeted that to him.
Did he ever hit you back?
No, he retweeted my tweet. That's all he did. But yeah, he retweeted my tweet. I said, I think I posted the tweet to you, didn't I? Let me see what I said.
No, I didn't see it.
Yeah, and that one, I think you did because you responded on it. But let me find that tweet. Let me find it here real quick in my screenshots. Here we go. I said, creativity and storytelling wise, well done. That title and even topic, on the other hand, is not a good look at all. What if someone wants to, what if someone made a Biggie Must Die or Nip Must Die video? Nah, that ain't cool at all. Some shit just ain't meant to be done. So, yeah, that's my take on like that title right there. Just, and then also the way he tweeted it, like he tweeted, Tupac deserved to die. Now that I got an issue with that too. Now, he has explained himself on video of what he meant. And I've talked to some other people. I talked to my one of my homies, Hockey Coily Shakur, see what he said, and he said Glasses is the homie. He do got love for Pac and all that. This was just basically hip hop and him telling the other side of the story. So I am a little with my feelings about it, but at the same time, it's hip hop.
And you know, you made an interesting point about certain artists not having their name disparaged because of scenarios like that. Like, it's especially with the way Pac and Biggie went out, because it brings old wounds. And we visited some harsh mm-hmm. realities that we and the old feelings that we had to go through during that time. But it just seems to me that Pac, over the years, it just seemed like more of an easy target for people to pretty much get a name off of and build a career off of. I mean, the man even has rappers, bum rappers, making diss records about him. So,
yeah.
That shows you the hardcore impact that this man has. And
yeah, and
I want to know in your point
gone
of view.
For a little time.
I want to know, what in your point of view, why do you think that a lot of this disrespect has came across to Tupac's legacy? Like, you think it started with Funkmaster Flex?
Motherfuckers, motherfuckers love to talk shit, but that's after he's gone because they fear him in physical form. You know what I'm saying? That shit's real. He said that shit. And that's real, man. Like, Funk Flex, that dude, man, still fuck Punk Master Flex. Bitch-ass motherfucker. Local smoke shit. But, man, yeah, people are going to stay talking shit. And I noticed one thing, man. I noticed something in this game, and I'm not going to mention people's names and stuff, but some of the people that actually fuck with Pac, did songs with Pac and shit, they felt some type of way about him. Now, I'm not talking about people in this crew. I'm talking about other people around that he worked with or he met, shit like that, and I bumped into. And I've, you know, most of them all times are talking all this good stuff, but then after a while, especially when I was doing that 20 Years Gone mixtape, there was some people there that I just got a bad vibe from, and I heard some bad stuff. I'm not going to go into more detail than that, but
mm-hmm.
Pac, he must have rubbed some shoulders with some people to the point where they still mad at him today. Maybe he fucked they woman or something. You know what I'm saying? Maybe he fucked they bitches and shit. I don't know what it is, man, but I have met a few people out there that still got a grudge against the dude, even though they sound like they all cool with him and everything, but then the true colors come out, man. Oh, yeah.
They're doing it in a sly. They're doing it in a sly, slick way. They're not gonna go out
yep.
there and deliberately say F Tupac because they know them Pac stands gonna flood their pages.
Exactly.
Well,
exactly.
I'm
that's
telling you,
perfect,
you did Tupac. That's like this. He's on the level of Gandhi, Jesus.
Yeah.
Martin Luther King, Malcolm
X, Martin Luther King. All of them, man. Pac is a legend. I mean, he's greater than...
He's
like,
part of that icon level.
Yeah. Like, seriously, man. You, no matter where you go in the world, you're going to have people that Pac made an impact on, man, and they still celebrate his life and music. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, man. Machiavelli lives on, man, until the end of time. And I can see right now, it seems like the industry, like the mainstream industry, is trying to play his name down and try to get people to forget about him. I mean, look at that Boosie-ass movie that came out, man. Like for real. Like, first Straight Outta Compton came out, blew motherfuckers away. And then they announced All Eyes on Me. People like, yeah, this is going to be the shit. Then that shit come out. What the fuck was that shit? That was a fucking disrespectful piece of shit to Pac, man. I was like, damn. And then that TV show came out. That one was way better. Huh?
Man, that movie broke my heart, man. That movie broke my heart, man, because I honestly, at first, I wanted that movie to win, man, because it was released on Tupac's birthday. And they picked a solid actor, which was Demetrius Stripp. He's a great actor.
Yeah.
He actually did a great job
he
in the movie.
He did a good job. And the girl who played Pac's mom. What's her name again? She's from The Walking Dead and Black Panther. What's her name?
I don't know her name off the head, but she did a great job.
You know what I'm talking about. she did a great job. Like, there was a lot of good actors in the movie. Don't get me wrong. But just how it was fucking executed. And then that scene with Snoop, and you got, like, Snoop voicing over the actor. I'm like, come on, man. What the fuck is that? You know that TV show that came out on Netflix? Was it called Unsolved? That shit was way better than the Pac movie. That shit, now that right there, that was justice. But that Pac movie, that was,
And they had Biggie looking like a mute through the whole time. I mean, the guy that played Biggie, he did actually a great job in Notorious, but he hardly even said
like
anything in All Eyes with me.
Yeah, not barely. Yeah.
That movie was
for real, man.
You would think
it was,
that.
Man. I thought it was disrespectful, man.
The way I seen it, it was two things. It was like, it was so bad that they literally had to pay WAC 100 to talk smack about the movie and Pac himself to hype it up. That's how terrible it was.
Yeah. Man, that's funny right there. But it's true, man. It's true. And then, you know, like 50 years from now, and people go back and they're going to look at, you know, these movies, and they're going to learn about hip-hop from the past and all that stuff. And then they're going to come across the Straight Outta Compton movie. They're going to be like, wow. Then they're going to come across that All Eyes on Me movie. They're not even going to worry too much about who Pac was to even probably listen to his music. So to me, it's like almost like a design. They want to taint this man's legacy so that he gets forgotten in the future. I don't know. Maybe I'm tripping, but that's kind of how bad the movie was, and it made me feel.
Yeah, and not to mention, even my brother, he's an avid Tupac fan. Like, he was watching that movie. Like, he was, like, one of those Roger the Ebert-type critics, because anybody portraying Tupac the wrong way, he ain't going to like it. He ain't even really like Strip. Yeah. But at the same time, like, give him a chance, bro. At least you ain't got...
Yeah.
You ain't got, what's the guy name that played Tupac? Hakeem from Moesha playing Tupac. At least you ain't Papa Doc from 8 Mile playing Tupac. That was the worst Tupac I ever seen. It was notorious.
Yep. No, I agree. That was a down. See, all the shit they do with Pac in movies, like, it's like, they don't give him justice, man. It's like, I don't know. It feels like a design. It's by design. Fuck this guy's legacy up. Who knows? I could be wrong, though. I might just be a Pac fan talking out my ass, but that's how I feel.
And you know what? That motivated you guys to make the song called Something to Ride To, and was that a response to a lot of the guys within the music industry that was disrespecting Tupac's name?
Or
any rappers and people in particular?
Yeah, When It's Time to Ride, that joint, like, we got When It's Time to Ride Part 1 and Part 2. So, that's both songs I addressed that whole issue, and I just feel like I needed to speak up, that's all. And that's how that came out. Like, the beat really did it. When I heard the beat, for the first one, It's Time to Ride, everything just came to me. So that's, I felt like I had to take jabs at these motherfuckers. Cause like in the first one, It's Time to Ride part one, I say my second verse, I go like, some fools out there straight running their mouth, talking shit on me, want me to fall down. But fuck those clowns, they can suck my 4 pound. And to all these faggots out there speaking on Pac, you can get it too when we pull out the Glocks. Pac's a legend, blood, and y'all some peons. And my aim's as sharp as the professional Leon. Or should I say Leon? Haters be gone. Haters love to talk shit, but that's after you gone. They really do fear you in your physical form. But like the realist said, Pac got riders, homie. Pac, y'all who's clean and psych, rest in peace. I'ma help keep the legacy alive for sure, G. Yeah, man, and then I just kept on going. But yeah, shout out to the realist right there, man. That's another dude who always rides for Pac. Even though he gets a lot of shit for the way he sounds, but man, that's a solid homie right there, man. For real.
Yeah, how do you end up meeting him, man? Because this man has gotten a lot of
flack from Tupac fans and a lot of hip hop fans, period, just for being like a clone. And you know, being honest, I kind of looked at it that way when I bought that Death Row Chronic 2000 album when they had the fake Snoop up there. And I was thinking Suge was using them to replace Pac and Suge with the realest and Top Dog. But then I chopped it up with the realest. And this guy, he's like very humble, first of all, very solid individual.
Definitely is, man. I got a lot of love for that dude. Yeah, so how I started... So I bumped him off of his music. Like, I first heard Gotta Love Gangsters and what was that other joint on Chronic 2000 that it was a tribute to Pac. What the fuck was it called? Stand Tall or some shit. Anyway, Stand Strong with Danny Boy. So those were the two first songs I heard from the realest. And the first time I heard it, I was like, you know, I'm like, nah, just like you said right there, like, what, you know, is he trying to replace Pac and shit? I didn't know what to think first. So I did some, you know, searching on Yahoo or Alta Vista, one of those search engines from back in those days. And then I found some interviews and I found one where Suge was talking about, I think it was Suge and the Realest interview, and they was talking about, That Pac had bumped into the Realest at either it was a basketball game or a fight. I don't remember, but it was a boxing match or something. But yeah, I think it was basketball, but I'm not 100% sure. He'll tell you. And Realest freestyled for him, and at that time he was called Dominican. He wasn't called the Realest yet. And Pac liked his flow. Introduced the Realest to Suge, and it was a rap. And then Dominican was first on the Gang Related soundtrack, and he sounded totally different on that record than he did on the Chronic 2000. He still had the voice, but his flow was his own. You know, it was you could tell a difference. So that kind of made me feel like, okay, let me give this dude a shot. You know what I'm saying? He's not just some biter coming out of the woodwork, you know what I'm saying, trying to claim fame or something. He actually got some love from this dude and he's representing for him. So that made me kind of like him, you know what I mean? And then I followed his career, and during that time, when I was fucking with Mobb Life, he was fucking with Mobb Life Records too at that time. He did a song called Me and My Motherfuckers, and then he did a record called From East to West with one of their artists, 730. So I was in contact already with Mobb Life at that time, so I used that to my advantage, try to get out and get a hold of the Realest. We chopped it up a few times then. But like we didn't keep in touch really. Like I kept trying because I really like the Realest flow. So me, I stay consistent, man. If there's something I want to do, I'm gonna stay consistent. You feel me? So then in 2008, I did a remix to the song "Bury Me a Mob Figure," and I sent it to him. And it took a few weeks, like 3 weeks maybe, until I got a word back. And I was like, okay, he probably didn't like it, I'm thinking. But then I got the word, but he's like, man, that's dope, man. Go ahead, run with that. Put that on your mixtape. And I was like, cool. And then I finally got to meet him a few years later in 2012, and he had sent me that, the year prior to that, he sent me that Fuck Flex joint to hop on. And it was, man, it's a trip with that Fuck Flex joint, man, when we did that, because there's actually another version out there with another artist on it called, I Am Brandon, and he's from the Bay Area. So, but the thing was, he did his version and put it out, but it wasn't done yet. Like, I mean, it was done to him, but I reached out to Brandon and said, hey, man, he sent it to us too, so let's put our verses all together and shit. You know what I'm saying? But he dropped his first, and I mean, you can even tell by the end of the song if you listen to that one. Like, just like on the end of ours, we put that whole Pac outro and shit. Anyway, shout out to Brandon. Anyway, there's no bad blood. It's just two different versions, and it was supposed to be like all of us on that one though. That was how it was supposed to come out.
No doubt, man. So we had the second hour, y'all. The call number is 1-619-924-0703. We had Off the Cuff Radio right now, sponsored by Buddy Boy Entertainment. If you ain't bought Cocaine's Finger Roll album, you're missing out. Sponsored by Da Vinci Clothing, spelled at THYVINCII. Y'all know where to get that. Follow us on Instagram. We got Loke the Smoke in the building, representing Wise Guys Entertainment. Wise Guys Records, y'all know what to do.
That's right. That's
just had
right.
To get that PR in. Had to get that PR in. No doubt. We had to get that PR in. So now we at this other stage here where you guys are working with One Hood Entertainment. Working with Havoc the Rhyme Son for South Central Cartel. Can you tell what that experience is like?
Yeah, man. I was on Dog Habit Records first before that. And that's when I linked up with Havoc while I was with Dog Habit. But I've kind of had some contact with Havoc before that, too, because DJ Pimp of City Marvin is real close with Havoc. They've been close for years. They consider them each other's brothers and shit. So anyway, but I finally got to meet him when I was with Dog Habit Records. We did that song that you played on the air in the beginning of the interview to West Coast Unity. And when we did that session, he asked me if I wanted to, you know, come over. He said he was gonna start his label One Hood Entertainment. He said, you know, I'm welcome to come over. And I said, man, I'm under contract right now, but as soon as this is done, man, consider me in. So when my contract ended, I hit him up same day and went with Havoc the Rhyme Son, man, and it was great, man. Like, I went down to San Bernardino to a One Hood function, got to meet everybody, man, this is about to be big, man. So I started working. I worked on my Unfadable album there, and then also worked on helping put together the One Hood compilation and helped release that as well. It was dope, man. I mean, it was dope. Me and Havoc, we had some differences in the end, but all in all, I got a lot of love for Havoc, man. He gave me a shot, you know. I grew up listening to this dude's music. So I got a lot of respect and love for that dude, man. And it was a dope situation, man. It was dope.
So what is it that you learned from Havoc that you wanted to carry on throughout this musical journey that you're on?
Well, I learned that, like, you know how we got that chat, that network chat, that I got that from Havoc. Some of the ways I market Wise Guys Global, I learned from Havoc. I learned how to, like, he taught me a lot of leadership skills. And then that was sometimes... Well, we clashed because he was the boss of that label, but at the same time, I just had like I didn't like to listen to directions sometimes because I want to be my own boss. So anyway, he kind of taught me those type of things to go stand on my own later.
Definitely, man. And that whole One Hood compilation was pretty solid because I remember we had the One Hood Takeover show about 3 years ago.
Yep.
That was a crazy show. Like, we had callers from Sweden. We had people calling from Germany. That was a big movement show right there.
Man, it was, man. It had so much potential, man. Unfortunately, there was some shit that happened with that label with people that had differences and egos. And remember in the beginning I was saying that egos can break a label and shit like that. And I saw that happen there. I'm not going to say who had egos and whatnot, but... It happened, and there was an instigator in the crew that always couldn't help the game and shit. Like, I mean, I ain't gonna lie, there was some shit that wasn't cool. But all in all, like, I have no bad blood or anything towards anybody in the hood. But it could have been greater, you know. Like, if they did it right, that would have been popping real big. Man.
Yeah, I think a situation happened where it kind of looked like a Wu-Tang situation where you had about 40 members, and you got to guide those 40 members.
Yeah.
And everybody's there.
And everybody was. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, it was that. Like there's a lot I can say, but I can't say it on the air.
Right.
Yeah, I mean,
but
big, there was a lot
of shout out to Havoc the Rhyme Son. That's a big shout out to him, man, because even though we had our differences sometimes, we butt heads, but hey, it's just the nature of this business. But he still came by and showed love to us when we had Big Prodigy on there. Big Prodigy, he wanted to respond to that weirdo Carcino and his comments. So I want to give those guys a platform. And Havoc went ahead and came through in the midst in the midst of us not really seeing eye to eye. It still was love at the end of the day.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly, man. The same thing I got to say about, like, Dog Habit Records, another spot I was on. Me and Bad Habit of the Dog Pound, you know, he brought me in there and shit. And me and Bad Habit, we had a few differences here and there, too. But you know what? That dude, he gave me a shot, man. So, man, I seen how this game is firsthand, how this industry goes. So, I ain't got no bad blood towards nobody. I think, man, everybody who gave me a shot, I thank them for that, man. I thank them for believing in me and giving me that platform. Because if it wasn't for all these people, you know, helping me out from Steady Mobbing to Who Mag to Dog Habit to One Hood, I wouldn't be the local smoke I am today. You know what I'm saying? I wouldn't be that person anymore. You know, I would have. Shit, man, they helped build me who I am, man. So, shout out to everybody from all those places, man. Real talk.
And you know what, man? We also got to let people know the importance of networking, because in order to thrive in this business, you got to have your networking skills up to the T. Your blade got to be sharp. You got to talk to certain people to get certain avenues crossed.
Yep.
So what did you learn mainly about networking? Like, do you also hit it on the street level, and how do you made that transition to work in the social media game?
Man, like, how can I put it, man? Like, I reach out to people that I think, you know, might have something. Like, if I like their music, for example, I'm not afraid to tell someone. Like, for example, I told Dope First and Don about Intelligent Ignorance. When he dropped that album, I told him, man, this is one of the best records I've heard in years. I told him, and I wasn't sugarcoating shit, man. Like, so I big up people if I like what they doing, I'll hit them up. I'll let them know that shit, and then try to build. And if some, you know, now I'm to a point where I kind of got my team built up, and a lot of people come with people to me, and then they want me to check them out and shit. But when I was building myself, I would reach out to people that I liked, that I thought seemed dope on the mic, and I would, you know, I would dig their brain to see how solid they was as people. And then the ones that solid, I stay, you know, stay linked with. The other ones, man, I seen a lot of, you know, I let a lot of people go. I seen a lot of people that would smile in your face but really wasn't your homie, you know what I'm saying? And I cut them motherfuckers off, man. I'm quick to cut a motherfucker off if I feel that they ain't solid, man. So I just keep on, you know, keep on going, you know what I'm saying? Now, like I said, though, it's man, now it's mostly people coming to me.
And what was like working with Dope Fresh to Don, man? I mean, that guy there is incredible, man. I mean,
he is one of the best
I've heard in the underground. I had this dude on the show like 4 times already. Anytime he drops, I'm like, man, we got to put Dope on.
Yeah, man. Yeah, Dope is a solid dude through and through, man. That's one of my best friends in the game. Like, I consider that dude my brother, real talk. And I ain't even met the dude in person, but that dude, me and him, we talk on a family type of level. And as an artist, I think he's one of the greatest artists in the new generation, like in the, you know, 2019. shit. I'll say that straight up. No ass kissing, no bullshit. That's just, man, that dude is fucking dope on the mic. His Intelligent Ignorance album, I bump it just like it's brand new today. When it came out, what, 2017? And it's still just as dope as when it came out. That dude, man, much love to dude, man.
Man, if people ain't heard that record, they definitely missing out, man.
Yeah, they, you know what? If they ain't heard that record, Intelligent Ignorance, they either better go do that right now, or they need to go get the baby powder out, put some in their hand, rub it together, and then lock themselves. There we go.
Especially the new video that he came out with not too long ago called Crazy World.
Man, that's a dope song
and
video.
Yes. I'm going to let my listeners know right now, if you want to see a powerful hip-hop record with great visuals and a solid message, definitely check that record out. It's called Doe Fresh the Don. I'm going to go ahead and spell it for y'all. D-O-U-G-H-P-H-R-E-S-H, the Don, at D-A-D-O-N, then type up Crazy World. Incredible record.
Yeah, it definitely is, man. Definitely is. And Doe, actually, he was one of the inspirations for me to open Wise Guys Global to as an actual label, not just have it as a... Because it's been a crew. Like, Wise Guys Global, the movement, the crew has been around since 2006. You listen to my mixtapes from back in the day, you still hear me saying Wise Guys Global. But it wasn't a label. We had some people that was down with the crew from across the world and different places and shit, but... But we just put mixtapes on that pit. It wasn't nothing, you know, too serious and shit. And then but Doe, he said, now that I, you know, when I was done with One Hood, and he told me about a distributor, and I was like, cool. So I looked up that distributor. That distributor has some good deals and all that stuff. And I was like, maybe I could use this. They had a label package there, so I opened I bought the label package. Then shortly after that, like a few months after I bought a year's of worth of distribution for a label, I found another distributor that was even better. Man, and then I just ended up moving everything to this new distributor that I go through now and shit.
And you know what's wild too is another cat we want to talk about that supported the Wise Guys roster. He's been on my show many times, and we're happy that he's free. My man Travis Bryant, got a real salute to him.
Hey, that's what's up. Shout out to Travis Bryant. He's a good dude too. I've known him since Dog Habit Records, since those days.
Yeah, man. Crazy dude, but hey, it's good to have him. You need one of them loose guys on your corner to make sure things get done right. That loyal guy that's a little crazy, but at the same time, he'll make sure the work get done. He makes sure he looks out for you. That's that type of guy.
Yep. Exactly. He got mad talent, too. He got some crazy talent, man. That dude, he is set up for real, man. Yeah, that's it. He's a good dude right there.
And I just want to let people know that we're gonna look for him to have him on the show this coming month. Cause he hit me yesterday, wanted to get on. Like, this cat is eager. He's hungry.
Yeah, he is, man. And he's doing his damn thing. He's the captain of Wise Guys Global Canada, that chapter over there. And then he got his own little label called No Damn Good Music Group. He's doing this thing, man. He's got a lot of good talent fucking with him and all that stuff too. And man, and speaking of Travis Bryant, man, yeah, he's from Montreal, Canada, man. I just saw this show on Netflix, man, called Bad Blood, that, man, takes place in Montreal. It tells a true story about this mob boss, this is the Gambino family. I forget, but it's an Italian mob boss. It's a true story about this dude, man. That shit is crazy, man. You gotta check that shit out. But yeah, I was talking to Travis Bryant about it on the phone. He said, yeah, that shit's all real, especially the first season. That's all based on real shit.
Yeah, man, and you know what? Canada is really actually, people let the misconception of Drake being the face make people think that Canada's soft, man. There's some wolves out there in Canada, boy. Straight up.
Straight up, man. And you know what? I've seen this shit around the globe, man. Like, every country got some shit going on. Even these countries that people would look at as soft and be like, oh yeah, they got free health care, they got free schooling and all this other good stuff and blah blah blah. That don't mean they ain't got no problems, man. I seen shit over in fucking Scandinavia, man. I seen motherfuckers over there, man. Over there, for example, weed and hash is illegal. So you have a lot of underground organizations that are trafficking this shit on major levels and trafficking weapons and all kinds of other shit, prostitution and all that shit that we see here that we think is only over here. No, that shit's everywhere. Everywhere got the, you know, like Ice Cube said, man, the world's a ghetto, man. That's real tough.
Yeah, I mean, even ASAP Rocky, he found that out the hard way. Like, he goes to these different countries, and what people fail to realize is that these countries have different type of rules, and they don't care if you're a celebrity or not. They gonna give you the same time they give the knucklehead on the block.
Yeah, and Sweden is known for one thing, too, about, like, my homie Stormy from the Outlaws, he did time in Sweden, too. They like to go after high-profile people. If somebody is a rapper or some shit, and they know that they talk about weed in their music, they will purposely go and try to bust them just so they can get, you know, so these cops and shit over there, these pigs can get their status. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, that shit's real, but... You know, the prisons over there, I can say this, though, because I have experience. I'm half Swedish from my dad's side and then Chicano from my mom's side. So, Swedish prisons are a lot nicer than they are over here, but they're still a prison. And motherfuckers inside those prisons are still, you know, you still got prison gangs and all the other shit that you would over here. But all in all, they do have better treatment in Swedish prisons than they do over here. I'll say that much.
Yeah, them prisons here, they kind of like luxury mansions compared to what's going on out there. You just getting like a ballroom and a mattress and an apple.
Yeah.
It's bad, man.
Yeah, man.
Now another name that you work with, I had asked this question before it slipped my mind. Was one of the most pioneers for the Bay, JT the Bigger Figure. Now, what was it like working with a cat like that?
Man, it was dope, man. But it was actually through my homies from Santa Rosa, West Church, who was also featured on the track. They shared a second verse on that track. They the ones actually that hooked me up with that song. They did that song with JT, the Bigger Figure, and then they asked me to get on it, and then they let me put it on my records. They never put it on there, so I got to keep it. And man, it was actually kind of returning a favor because I hooked them up with DJ King Assassin. So,
right.
That's how that one came about. And it was, man, I was like, wow, I got to do a song with Jason, the Bigger Figure. That shit was dope. But I didn't actually do it in the studio with him. I have talked to him on Instagram and shit a few times, you know, MySpace back in those days. When he did his whole mandatory business campaign with Snoop, I was actually talking to both him. Just him. Yeah, I was talking to him a few times and shit. And then, yeah, I got one of those beats from Snoop that he was putting out at that time. He did something there. But yeah, like, no, I wasn't in the lab with JT when I did that. But it was dope, man. I got to do the song with him. It turned out dope. That's actually a lot of people they come up to me and say, hey, man, that song that you got, man, that's fucking with the bands or be singing on the hook and all that. That's one of a lot of people's favorite classics that I do. They tell me all the time.
Yeah, working with a guy like JT, man, it's like he passed a lot of that independent knowledge down because he was one of the key pioneers of the independent hustle. Now, he gave Master P the game.
Yeah.
You see where he's at.
Yeah, he did a lot, man. He put it down for the Bay. Man, right now, there's so much funk, you know, so much funk going on in the Bay right now between motherfuckers, man. It's fucking sad to see. And I got much love for JT, the biggest figure. And right now, him and Jay Diggs out of Vallejo, having their little issues. And it's kind of sad to see because, man, we need to stop all this bullshit, you know, all this violence. And out here in the Bay, when motherfuckers start going in on each other in the Bay, bodies can start dropping. You know what I'm saying? So I just hope people can settle their differences and all that shit.
Yeah, we had a conversation about that. And the Bay beefs different from other regions. That's why it's a very delicate situation to really address, because anytime now, it can just boil over into something, you know, into the streets. That's why it's a delicate situation to tackle. And you don't want to be like a lot of these cloud chasers just trying to get on and address those certain Bay politics. Even when you notice a lot of people that what we do, out of all the beefs, they never tackle stuff in the Bay Area because they know how things is gonna escalate eventually. A lot of people within the hip hop podcast world don't really touch on Bay politics unless they're from there.
Yeah.
And I can't blame them because I don't even do it. I don't even do it.
Yeah. No, for real, man. It's like that, man. The Bay is one of those places, man. We had quite a few rappers get killed out here. You know what I'm saying? Quite a few Bay rappers. Max Dre, Pretty Black, Keek the Sneak, he's alive, but he got shot up, you know what I'm saying? And it gets really grimy out here, man. Motherfuckers, they come, you know, they look at the Bay, and those who don't know, they look at the Bay, see this beautiful spot that costs a shitload of money to live at. But, man, it's grimy as fuck out here. We may not have Crips and Bloods, but they do have Norteños and Sureños, and they have a whole lot of different turks that be funking with each other. Clicks that be hustling, controlling their turfs and all that shit, man. Yeah. So this shit go down out here, man. Motherfuckers be hyped. I saw the other day, man, this one dude on the road was trying to run somebody off the road, man. He was looking all hyped and shit, man. He was like fucking trying to run this dude that was next to him off the road. And I see this hand come out the window. I was like, oh, shit, it's about to start, you know, start some shit about to go down. But no, it was just a finger that came up, not a pistol. But, man, that shit was, man, it happened anywhere, man. They're fucking on the freeway. They'll shut down a freeway and start doing a fucking sideshow in the middle of the freeway or on the bridge and shit, man. Motherfuckers go nuts out here.
That's crazy, man. And we hoping that those brothers, you know, come to the mob table, talk it out a little bit. You don't even have to make music to get on some fake kumbaya tip. But just, you know, keep the streets out of things. You know, just put more unity out there, especially after what happened with Nipsey. And recently, Slim 400, he lucky to even be walking around.
Mm-hmm. Right? Exactly, man. Yeah, I hope, man, I hope motherfuckers come to their senses one day, because at the end of the day, man, motherfuckers just end up killing each other, man. All this violence is a cycle that goes back and forth. There's no winners in this shit. You know what I'm saying? It's only people that go into the grave and other families that are getting torn apart, and you know what I'm saying? People fucking up their whole lives over bullshit, and they ain't owning none of these streets that they fighting for. You know what I'm saying? The government owns those streets. The city owns those streets. You know what I'm saying? They ain't got... Man, motherfuckers need to get their shit together, man.
That's a fact, man. And we want to end that on that note, man, because we about to wrap this thing up. We had a great time getting to know you, man, getting to know your movement. We let you know that We ain't gonna have no Ciroc bottles being sent our area after you said F Puffy.
That's not coming our way, so we could kiss goodbye, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, that's what's up.
We might have to stick.
Hey, man.
We might have to get with that Aquafina or that vitamin water money or something like that.
Yeah, man. Hey, man.
Real fast.
You just made me think of something, man. When you said vitamin water, man. Me and Doe was talking about that song So Disrespectful by 50 the other day, man. He goes, man, that's a diss song I never hear people bring up, but that's one of the hardest diss records ever, man. Real shit. And he goes in on Puffy.
He went at all three of them dudes. He went at Gabe.
Yeah.
He said Young Buck. And man. Who else was he dissing up there? It was Game. It was Young Buck.
It was somebody else. Young Buck. He says Jay. And then Puffy. He mentions Puffy. And then he mentions his own baby mama. And his dad.
This is why
yeah.
We got 50
cents. The opening part, though. Yeah, then the opening part, your daddy fucked your mama, then fucked your sister, then climbed into your bed playing with your shit. How hard is
that? That's disrespectful.
Man.
That's grimy disrespectful right there.
Man. Hey, shout out to
and
Skip,
I'm letting
man.
People know. I got to let people know with this, since we're coming back on the air tomorrow night too with this interview with Bangham Smurf. I don't have no control with what
that's
he says. I'm going to let people know that if 50 start dissing us on Instagram, it's because of this interview. So if you start seeing 50 poke in front of us, I'm going to let everybody know that we made it.
Yeah. Facts, man. Hey, and you know what, Bangham Smurf, he used to be on SoundClick back in the day. I don't know. He probably won't remember me, but I talked to him back in the day on SoundClick. tell him Mr. Loco said, what's up?
As soon as if we start getting them this, we drop it bombs, some flex bombs.
Yeah.
That's why I'm going to tell y'all that, look, those checks are about to get cut.
That's right.
For real.
That's
Dad.
Right.
But since we're about to wrap this thing up, man, do you have any shout outs you want to give out?
Yeah, man. First foremost, shout out to you for having me on here, man. Good looking out. Big shout out to Off the Cuff.
Yeah.
Shout out to my whole Wise Guys Global family. There's so many of y'all. I can't mention all y'all names. I try to get as many as I did in the beginning. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to my wife, Michelle, my family, my kids. You know what I'm saying? And shout out to all the artists out there keeping real hip-hop alive. Fuck this mumble rap. Fuck the gimmicks and this shit. Keep the real shit alive. Much love to everybody. Salute. I'm about this motherfucker.
For sure. And I'm going to let y'all know that tomorrow night we're going to be having part two of our Bangham Smurf interview. We were going to have the first the interview was in its entirety last week, but due to his international calling card running out of minutes, we had to shorten that interview up. So we're going to have the continuation of the part of the interview with Bangham Smurf up tomorrow night. So tune in at the top of the hour. This one may be a short show as well, because we're going to go ahead and splice both of the interviews together. So we're doing work for the culture, damn it. And since it's my birthday
month,
I'm taking all my money on Cash App at $KingDaffyJoe. Y'all know where to find me.
Hey, that's what's up. Hey, one thing. I know I said I'm about this motherfucker, but I almost forgot to say. Any artists out there that got music and they need some help to get it put out and whatnot, go to WGGEntertainment.com. We got packages to help y'all out. You know, if you feel like you got the talent, you want to be involved in this Wise Guys Global movement, go check it out. Hit the contact. Our A&R department will check it out and get back at you.
Most definitely. So, yeah, I'm signing out for tonight. Be sure to tune in tomorrow night, 9 p.m., 6 Pacific, 8 Central Time, Off the Cuff Radio, episode 253, featuring Bangham Smurf. We're going to have the replay of the Ty Nitty episode up this weekend as well. We working, dang it. We working.
And big shout to the Wise Guys family.
Salute.
And most importantly, also to my co-host, which will be back tomorrow, T-Max with the Facts, Illa the Sandman, Miss Chinchilla. We're going to form like Voltron, but in the meantime, we're going to hold things down. So holla back at you.
For sure.